Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
It is a blessing to be here this morning, such a blessing. And we want to thank you so much for your support for us over the years as we've been in Poland. Quite honestly, it was really hard to leave Poland. Some people thought, oh, it'll be easy, you know. I mean, life there isn't that good. But our hearts have been there for 14 years, and the churches there love us, and we love them. And so one of the important things to me when we told them we were leaving is we wanted them behind us. And so last Sunday, we had our commissioning service in our church, and they prayed for us and sent us out as their missionaries. And now you get to do the same thing. You get to send us out as your missionaries. But it's a joint effort because it takes all of us to accomplish the goal. And so it was a real blessing. And it wasn't something we were looking for, you know, to leave Poland. Over the past couple of weeks, Kurt and I look at each other every couple of days and say, whose idea was this? You know, I mean, we're moving across the ocean, and then we're moving to a different country in Europe, and we're learning three languages. Whose idea was this? And the standard answer is God's, you know, because that it was his idea. We've had a heart for the Balkans for many years because there's no student ministry in any of those countries. In Bosnia and Herzegovina, in Macedonia, in Serbia, in Bulgaria, and in all of those countries, there is no student ministry happening at all. And so we've been praying for years. So be careful what you pray for, because you might just be the answer to your prayers. And we were willing. That's all it took, is a heart that's willing to say yes to whatever God asks. And so, you know, it might not be because we're the most gifted missionaries in Europe, but we were willing to go. Even though we've spent 14 years learning Polish, and now we get to start over with another language, we've built relationships there, and we get to leave those people. Fortunately, it's only 12 hours from Krakow to Sarajevo. So, but really, Kurt didn't mention this, but our heart is for the entire Balkans region. We really want to see more missionaries there, because most of those countries have only one missionary unit, if they have any missionaries at all. There are no missionaries in Montenegro. Right now, there's a couple that are itinerating to go there. And so there is a definite need in the entire area. It is not an easy place to go. And so families with small children, you know, it's really difficult there. Poland was hard enough for the kids to learn Polish and stuff, but the Balkans are just another world. And so anyway, I just wanted to fill in a couple of the gaps that Kurt might have not mentioned. This is our first service, so we're working this as we go along. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness, because you are a good God all the time. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what challenges we face, you are good. And we bless you and praise you today because of your goodness to us. Father, I just ask right now that your Spirit would fill our hearts, that you would open up our ears, that we could hear what you are saying to us today, and that we would apply it, Lord God, in our lives. And Jesus, we just thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So how many of you have ever in your life watched a superhero movie? I want to see hands. Oh, I see one or two people that haven't seen a superhero movie. I remember watching Superman with Christopher Reeve back in the day. And now it seems like, is it just me, or is America obsessed with superhero movies? Really? I mean, it's just like you can't shake a stick without seeing a new superhero movie coming out. And I have to believe that the world is looking for something. What do you think? Do you think the world is looking for something? They're looking for a superhero. And guess what? We know who he is. He is Jesus Christ. He is the superhero. He is the bomb. And I'm telling you, he came and he defeated the forces of evil, not by his superpowers, but by his obedience to his Father's will on the cross. And that is a true superhero, giving his life for us. But I think that that's what the world is looking for. Now, personally, I kind of prefer stories about unlikely heroes. And so Lord of the Rings was one of my favorite stories when I was growing up, and The Hobbit and all that kind of thing. And so when I got married, I married a Hobbit. I mean, a Hobbs, you know. So, you know, he's short, just like Hobbits. We're both short. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then I found out he had never read any of the books. So on our road trips, I had to read him all four, the Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings stories, so that he knew what his name meant. Can you believe that? Anyway, he ended up reading it to our kids, so that was fine. But I love Bilbo and Sam and Frodo and the rest because they're not superheroes. They don't have great skills with swords and bows and magic and axes, but they have what it takes to defeat evil: courage and tenacity. That's what these heroes have. And you know what? The Bible has lots of stories about heroes too. In fact, we call Hebrews 11 the heroes of the faith chapter, because it tells these stories about all these people in the Bible that were heroes. But are these heroes superheroes? Not really. Not really. Jesus is the only superhero in the Bible. The rest of them are just, you know, those plain ordinary types that do heroic things from time to time. So let's look at a story that Jesus told about the kingdom of God. Turn to Matthew 25, 11 through 30, or 14 through 30, and it should be up here in the NIV. Let's see. Okay. So this is cool because the new NIV, if you remember in the old NIV, it talks about talents. And in the new NIV, it talks about bags of gold. And so I love this. So let's read it. It says, again, and he's talking about the kingdom of God. Okay, this is towards the end of Jesus' life and his ministry. And he's ready to go to the cross. And he's telling the disciples what the kingdom of God is going to be like. So he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a pretty hefty story. You know, I kind of liked it when it used the word talents because, you know, it wasn't, you think of a talent in our culture, you know, and a talent is like a gift or a talent. Talent is a talent, right? It's like a gift or an ability. It's not like bags of gold. But that's what Jesus was talking about here was investment. And God has invested in each one of us. That's what Jesus is trying to say. He's invested in each one of you. Something in your life, some bag of gold, and he expects us to use them wisely. It's not just you can bury it or not do anything with it, and then on that last day expect him to say, well done. You have to do something with what he's given you. That's part of being a follower of Jesus. That's part of being a disciple. And so Jesus says, you know, that if you're wicked and lazy, you're going to get thrown out. Some of us have flashy gifts, you know, like a beautiful singing voice or an incredible storytelling ability or maybe a good evangelist or a healer. But quite honestly, most of us do not. Most of us are pretty ordinary. We have pretty ordinary gifts, kind of like those hobbits, you know. They're not gifted with big things, but they have something, and they use what they have. God doesn't expect us to use gifts that he hasn't given us, okay? If you don't have a good singing voice, he doesn't expect you to have a good singing voice, right? He expects you to use the gifts he has given you, though. And we need to be faithful with them. In 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12, they tell us that God has given his body spiritual gifts, right? You guys have read these chapters. You know what he's talking about. He's talking about tongues and gifts of healing and miracles and faith and love and all the different gifts that God gives us. And Paul encourages the believers to use these gifts wisely and to use them well. But spiritual gifts are not the only thing that God has given you. He has given you resources. He's given you time. He's given you money and relationships. And you can use them also. That's part of that bag of gold that he's given you. Okay, so you've got this bag of gold. It includes all of your personality, all of the gifts that God has given you in your personality. Maybe you're a people person, like my husband. That's a gift that God has given you, and he expects you to use it for his glory. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're good at organizing things, and so that's a gift that he's given you. Maybe you care about specific kinds of people, and that's a gift that God has given you. It's something he's invested in your life that he wants you to use, okay? So he expects us to be faithful stewards of what he has entrusted to us, whether it's the ability to make money or fix cars. Whatever we do, when we're using the gifts that God has given us, we bring him glory, okay? So if you're a stay-at-home mom, you bring God glory by being the best stay-at-home mom you can be. You know, it's a tough job. It really is. If you're a mechanic, then you're bringing God glory by being the best mechanic you can be, by using your gifts to help people. And if you're good at making money, give a lot of it away, okay? Because God has given you that gift. And so he expects you to use it for his kingdom and for his glory. But before we get all busy doing, we need to realize that what God wants most of all from you is you. A relationship with you. Not a verse of the day or a two-minute devotional, but an intimate relationship. How many marriages would survive if we treated our spouses like we treat God? You think about how much time you spend with God. If you spent that much time with your spouse, or if you talk to your spouse the way you talk to God, would your marriage last? For those of you who are married, mind you. I don't know about that, you know? And it's easy. I've noticed in the world that there's become a Christian devotional culture. It seems like every day I get 3 or 4 emails about Christian devotional books. God wants more than devotions. He wants your life. He wants an intimate relationship with you. And only you can give that to him. And it comes when you make decisions. When you make decisions of how you spend your time, of how you spend your money. And that's what he's asking. You know, he came and he gave everything. Jesus gave it all for us. And that's what he's expecting from us, is for us to give our all for him. And that comes from seeking him, not his gifts or his will or his blessing, because those things are going to come as we earnestly pursue a relationship with him. God wants more than just the surface of our lives. He wants you to go deeper. He wants you to know his word. He wants you to be intimate with him. And you can do that. You really can if you decide, if you choose. To devote everything you have to him. Okay, so in Matthew 28, it's a couple of chapters after the story that we just read. Jesus' last words to his disciples are recorded in 18 through 20. awesome missionary. You should have known this was coming, right? Because it's a missionary service, so you got to hear this verse somewhere. But it really means something. It's really significant. So in verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, this is the last words that Matthew records that Jesus says to his disciples. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I really love this passage, not just because I'm a missionary, but you might not realize this if you've not studied Greek, but the main verb in this verse 19 is make disciples. Because oftentimes when you have a missionary service, you hear a lot about the going, right? It says go, and everybody wants you to go somewhere. Well, I'm not telling you to go anywhere but where God is already sending you, all right? Because the point is to make disciples. And the word go in the Greek is a participle. And for those of you who are not language geeks like me, a participle is like going. And so basically what he's saying is, in your going, or while you're going, make disciples. You know what? Sometimes God doesn't care where you go. What he cares is what you do when you're going. And what he cares about is that you're making disciples as you're going. Okay? So whether you're going to work in a factory, he wants you to be making disciples in that factory. Whether you're going to visit your family, he wants you to be making disciples in your family. The whole point is that we do what Jesus did. We make disciples of all nations. And you know what? He's going to call some of you outside of America. I believe that because God is a sending God. He's always sending us places. You think about Moses and Abraham. God just likes to send people. He likes to get us out of our comfort zone. And so don't be afraid to go to Japan to study. Don't be afraid to move away from Wyoming. If that's what God is calling you to do, in your going, make disciples, because that's what his will is that we make disciples of all nations. And how do we do that? Well, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Now, I don't think people talk about that much, but the whole point of being a disciple is to be obedient, right, to whatever Jesus commanded. And you know what? Jesus' commandments are pretty simple to summarize. Love God, love your neighbor. You know, he said the law and the prophets are summed up in those two commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay? It's all in the book. It's all in the Bible. And you can find it all there, what God's will is for your life. His will is for you to obey him. It's pretty simple. Sometimes it's not so easy to do, but it is very simple. So the question is, are you a disciple? You know, it's easy to get converted, but being a disciple is a little bit more work because it means that there's expectations of you. You're expected to be obedient, and you're expected to make disciples. That's what Jesus is saying. And this is Jesus' final command. So if you're not making disciples, are you really obeying? And are you really a disciple? You see, it's a process that it keeps going round and round. We become a disciple, and then we make someone else a disciple, wherever you're at. And I have a special word for you who are moms and dads. The most important disciples are your children. If you have kids, those are the most important disciples in your life. And everybody else who's a disciple can take back seat to them. Because God only gave your kids two parents, one mom, one dad, right? Some of us have blended families. It gets complicated. I know that wasn't the way God intended it in the first place. But that's the way it is right now. But those kids are the disciples that you need to invest in. Because they're the ones that when you see them on that day, you're going to be glad that you invested in them. So this is Jesus' final command, to make disciples of all nations. And that comes by you going. It comes by you giving and praying. There's plenty of ways to be a part of this commission. And you know, the great thing is, Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with us as we go, as we make disciples, as we baptize them, as we teach them to obey his commands. And that's kind of good news, isn't it? That Jesus is with us, because Jesus is the superhero that the world is looking for. So if you have the courage and tenacity to obey, you could be the hero that your world needs to show them that the true superhero that they're looking for really is Jesus. And that's the point, right? The world needs to see that all the things that they're looking for, everything that they've been missing is found in Jesus Christ. And I hope that that's something you really believe in your hearts. I hope that that's something that you have found for yourself to be true, that you're not just coming to church because that's what you do or because that's what your parents want you to do, but that you've really found out that Jesus is a true superhero, that he can save your life, that he can transform your life and make you into something that you never believed you could be. He has invested in each of our lives. You know, maybe it's 5 bags of gold, maybe it's only 1, but he wants you to invest that into other people. One of the greatest blessings that we have had in Poland is investing in people. And I could tell you story after story of these people, but it would probably make me cry because I miss them. I tease my kids that they have Ukrainian sisters and brothers because Poland has been influxed by Ukrainian students since the war started in Ukraine. And by the way, it's still going on there. It's just we never hear about it in the news because other things are happening now. Some of these boys can't go back or they'll get drafted into the army. That's their life. Their parents are starting to join them in Poland. But you know what the gift that I had was? I could speak English. I could speak English. And they needed that gift. And so I made friends with these girls. One of them wasn't a Christian yet. I'm not sure she's still a Christian yet, but she's on the way. She's on the path. And she has become like a daughter to me. Yeah, it was hard to leave those two, her and her best friend. They're like daughters to me. But the gift that I had that I could invest was so simple. All of you have a gift of being able to speak English as a native language. You don't even have to be a teacher. I know little about anything when it comes to grammar. I've learned a lot because I've had to teach these girls all these things. But that's all it took. That's all it took to spread the gospel, to share the kingdom, was to be able to speak English. Now, how simple is that? It doesn't need to be complicated, people. It's simple. Whatever gift God has given you, you can use to share his love, to show the world that Jesus is a true superhero. And so I just want to encourage you today, don't worry about the gifts you don't have. Don't seek after those things. Although Paul says that we should seek the greater gifts, like prophesying. Yeah, do that. Do what Paul said. But don't worry about it if you're not a public speaker. I mean, yeah, don't worry about those things. Just use whatever God has given you and hold it out and say, God, I don't have much. I'm a 1 bag of gold kind of person. But whatever I have, I'm willing to invest. You just show me how and where. And he will. I promise you, he will. And you will see people changed for the kingdom of God. And then someday you're going to see them in heaven. And that's the real reward, is seeing them in heaven. I'm going to pray. Father, you have invested in us, and we desire, Lord, to give back, to invest what gifts we have in others so that you would be glorified. So Jesus, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and help us to see the things that we might be overlooking. It might be as simple as baking a batch of chocolate chip cookies, because that's a spiritual gift also. Father, I pray that you would open up our hearts to see how we can make disciples in our going. No matter where we're going, whether we're going to Walmart, whether we're going to work, help us, God, to see how we can serve you, how we can change the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.